So do you do what I do sometimes when he's carried away like that? I mean, sometimes I'm doing it with you, but today I was channeling, you know, Howard. You know how you ever listen like to the radio and stuff? The 1812's going off and you're just, you know, boom, boom, bum, 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 bam, boom, bum, bum, bum. You know, you're just directing them and they're getting it all right. You ever notice that on the radio? When you direct the radio, they get you. They figure it out. I'm over here. Howard's just going on. I don't know how they hold their breath that long, but man, it was great. It was great. It was really powerful. Thank you all. Thank you very, very much. I don't know how it was for you when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, I had certain expectations. I had certain expectations about how things were going to go as I was growing up, and certainly once I became an adult, because I was willing to allow for the fact that at 10, things weren't really going the way I wanted them to go. All right, the professional football career didn't look very promising. Didn't look like I was going to, you know, make it that way. Musician, maybe not. Academics, not exactly my long suit. But I'm thinking, but once I get to be an adult, then I'll be all set, you know. Once I get married and have kids, then I'll be all set. Because, you know, I'll have everything I need. You know, because I'm thinking when you come to be an adult, you know, you get this toolbox, a magic toolbox that has all the right things in it. And you just go in there and you get it out. And what you discover, at least what I discovered, is that you don't get some bright, shiny-looking toolbox. You get this rusted thing with a broken handle and bent hinge, and you open it up, it's rusty pliers. It's a bent screwdriver and a broken hammer and a voice that says, "Here you go, do the best you can." You know, like, that's not my expectation at all. That's not the way it's supposed to go. I thought you had all the answers. I thought you would have all the strength. I thought you would have all the wisdom. I went into ministry thinking people would listen to you. It's so funny, our expectations, the way that can work out. And Palm Sunday is one of the best because it's when we see expectations meet reality. All right, and as the week plays out, we know how this is going to go out, and we kind of, you know, laugh at the crowds because we know they're expecting a king, they're expecting, you know, a conqueror. They're, you know, what I was doing with the kids, you know, that's what they're thinking, and that Jesus is going to come in and he's going to do this, and he's going to say that. You ever wish Jesus would do that? Don't you have expectation, you know? And Jesus is going to do this, and he's going to do that. And then they're expecting him to act like the Messiah, and he's going to act like the Savior, and he's going to act like the Son of God. In Mark's account, did you hear it in Mark's account, the way Mark says it? It's like Jesus is a tourist. He goes into the temple, looks around, and he leaves. That's it. That's the way the gospel account of Mark ends it. You're like, well, if I'm there, I'm raising my hand. And it isn't to say, well, it's like to say, hey, you forgot some things, all right? The Romans, hello, poverty. Any of this ringing a bell? Aren't you going to fix this? Aren't you going to take care of this? Aren't you going to do it? And there he goes off in the darkness with, you're just like, I mean, I get it. He comes in humble on a donkey. But I have to be honest. There's times I want him to be an action hero. Wouldn't you like that? I mean, he doesn't have to wear a cape. But, I mean, to just, you know, just not be so Jesus-y. I mean, If we're honest, Jesus fails to meet our expectations. We want him to come and make the world right. We want to see innocence rescued. We want to see the guilty punished. At the very least, we want Jesus to make us good. Well, let's start somewhere, all right? Because if he makes enough of us good, then eventually that's going to scatter out to other people. We want him to heal us. and heal those we've hurt. We want him to stop us from making mistakes. I mean, we look at the planet, look what we've done to this planet, and we're supposed to be taking care of it. And not looking like we're doing a very good job. We're supposed to be taking care of other people. Sometimes it doesn't look like we're doing very good at that either. It gets to be disappointing. And disappointment is something, unfortunately, all of us know very well. Unmet expectations, disappointments surround us. Our loved ones even can let us down, and we let our loved ones down. People let us down. The world lets us down. We want to believe that Jesus is never going to let us down, but if we're honest, he does. It's true. There are times when Jesus does not say or act the way we wish he would. Our expectation is something different than what Jesus does. We get disappointed with Jesus. We get disappointed with God. We want mountaintops and sunshine, and instead we get shadows and valleys of death. The crowds shout, "Hosanna!" Hosanna meant save us. That's the translation, save us. But save us from what? See, the crowd was thinking that he was going to save them from the Roman army. He's going to save them from poverty. He's going to save them from injustice. We might have our own list of things we want Jesus to save us from. Save us from ourselves. Save us. So just look at the planet. Pick a feature. There's all kinds of places, anything. Start somewhere. Clean up some corner. Just make a clean spot, and we could just help it spread and move on from there. When Jesus comes into our lives, and we think he's going to fix something. He's going to fix the world. He's going to fix our families. He's going to fix us. Maybe we're sick. Maybe we need healed. Maybe we're broken. We need wholeness. The thing is, we're expecting something from Jesus. And the truth is, Jesus doesn't really meet our expectations. See, that's what Palm Sunday reminds us about. The people had expectations about Jesus, about a Messiah, about God. And while it starts out hopeful here on Palm Sunday, we know that as the week progresses, it's going to go a whole lot darker. The week doesn't end the way they expect it to. In Mark's telling of this day, it's not until tomorrow that Jesus cleans out the temple. Today's the day he looks around. Tomorrow's the day he cleans it out. Now, if we wanted to make a metaphor and say Jesus is coming into our heart today, and he's looking around at our hearts and our lives, what's he going to clean out tomorrow? Some bitterness, some resentment, some hurt. What's he going to clean out tomorrow? Is there some arrogance? Is there some pride? What's he going to clean out? He's in our hearts. He's looking around. Tomorrow he's going to come back. What's he going to clean? Because here's the deal. Jesus is coming into our lives in a way that we do not expect. Very likely in a way that we do not appreciate. He may be too meek, too mild. I don't know about you, but there are times when I would like a little less talk and a little more action. Be all right with me. You got a bunch of thunderbolts. God will make more. Use them up. There's all kinds of people. Here's a list. Start here. Not the way Jesus acts. It might be that we want a little bit more sympathy. And instead, Jesus is challenging us. It might be that we want comfort. And instead, Jesus confronts us. Because Jesus is always going to remind us that we're not in charge. We're not in control. It's his agenda that we follow. Jesus is not here to meet our expectations. Jesus is here to lead us to a new life. And to get there, we start here. It's Palm Sunday. We're not at Easter yet. It's Palm Sunday. And to get to new life, that means we're going to have to go through each day. That means tomorrow, Jesus is going to clean out our hurt, our sorrow, our sin. Whatever is in our lives, Jesus is going to clean that out. That means, of course, we have to let him in. Jesus is going to lead us to new life, but first, he's going to lead us to a place of betrayal. First, he's going to lead us to a place of denial. First, he's going to lead us to a place of desertion. We call that day Maundy Thursday, but we recognize it more than just then. Jesus is going to lead us to new life, but first he's going to lead us to a place of pain and agony and death. That's the cross of Good Friday. New life comes at a price, and that's the price. He's going to lead us to new life, but first he's going to lead us to a place of darkness and despair, the tomb of Saturday. See, only when you've been to all those places can you come to a place of new life. Because to get to new life, we have to let the old life go. To have new life, we have to let the old life die. We have to let go of our expectations, because the only way to victory is through surrender. If we keep looking for the Jesus we expect, we're going to miss the one who comes. Palm Sunday is a time for us to examine ourselves and to ask ourselves, who is leading us? Our expectations or Jesus? And sometimes we hang on to our expectations rather than hold on to the promises of God. Because here's the bottom line. Jesus doesn't come. Jesus didn't come. And Jesus will never come to make us or the world, or others, good. Jesus came to bring life to that which is dead. He comes into our lives, the dead places of our lives, where our hopes, where our dreams are in ashes and dust. He comes into those places in our lives where we're wounded and we're weary. Jesus comes into those dark, despairing places of our lives, not to make everything good, but to bring forth life, to bring forth hope, to remind us that if we will let go of our expectations and hold on to the promises of God, we will meet him and rejoice, singing, "Hosanna, God save us from our expectations." Amen.